Welcome back, everyone, to the Really Real Real Estate Podcast. Episode 199, Home Improvement. When it comes to talking with the general public, it's not uncommon for a realtor to be asked, will this fill-in-the-blank repair, upgrade, addition, etc. increase the value of my home? While a simple and fair question to ask, the answer may not be as simple as you think. Today on the podcast, we're going to be doing our best to answer that question in as much detail as possible. My name is Lou Lombardi, and now here is your real estate expert with all the answers to every question you would ever want to know about real estate, including this one, Mr. Jason Wilcox.
Sorry. I'm just going to try to see how many songs I can sing before we start getting cease and desist orders from these different television stations and, you know, whoever.
With that rendition. I had no idea what you were doing. So don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah. I was just trying to
do the home improvement thing. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to sing. I was trying to sing the
What's his name? Tim Allen. Right?
Yeah, Tim Allen. Yeah, Tim the Tool Man Taylor. I actually saw him do stand-up comedy a couple years ago. He is hilarious. If you ever get the chance to see him do stand-up.
I'm sure that he's very funny.
Yes. Yeah. My buddy and I drove to Ohio to see him. So yeah, we went all the way out to Columbus, which is a great city, by the way. Very much enjoyed my time in Ohio or in Columbus, Ohio. So, but anyways, talking about home improvement, talking about Tim Allen singing the theme song to Home Improvement. Is not what we are here to do today.
Oh, okay.
We are, I know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry to disappoint all of you out there. Today, we are talking about the type of home improvements that you can make to your house and what that looks like in terms of resale value. Hmm. Now, full disclosure, something that I've not mentioned since this has happened, because this is actually the first set of episodes that we have recorded since this all went down. I actually took on a position a couple of weeks ago. I have started teaching for a group called the Realtors Association of Metropolitan Pittsburgh.
Oh,
so
cool.
in Pennsylvania, and actually, I mean, in really real estate as a whole, you have to belong to maintain your status as a realtor to three boards. You have to belong to a local real estate association board. You have to belong to a state board, and you have to belong to a national board. Everyone on the national board belongs to the National Association of Realtors. In Pennsylvania, you belong to the Pennsylvania Association of Realtors. And then there's a handful of local boards that you can belong to. The one that I belong to is called the Realtors Association of Metropolitan Pittsburgh. They're based in West Liberty Avenue. Kind of in the general vicinity of the city. And basically, you know, what they do is they offer education and advocacy and resources for local realtors. One of the things that they do, this particular group does, is they offer continuing education courses for licensees. They offer broker's courses for people who are interested in getting their broker's license. They offer pre-licensing courses for agents, people that are thinking about getting their license to become an agent. So amongst all the wonderful education and advocacy that they do, they also provide a ton of courses that you can take. I actually started teaching for them a couple of weeks ago, something that happened kind of very quickly and very suddenly. They were in need of a new teacher, so I came on and I've been teaching their pre-licensing course, which I've had a blast doing. I'm enjoying it. I love it. I forgot how much I missed the classroom.
Good.
And this episode actually came from a conversation that we were having in one of our classes a couple of weeks ago. And so I thought it would be fun to kind of bring this topic up, because it really is something we've not talked about, and it's a conversation that's kind of interesting. And it's talking about kind of home improvements and what to expect in terms of resale value. Like, is it going to help? Is it going to hurt? Now, I will tell you, when we go throughout this, we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty of, oh, do this bathroom and it's going to give you $2,500 worth of resale. We're not doing that kind of stuff.
Right.
We're just talking about a very 10,000-foot overview of what you should and could expect when it comes to the type of home improvements that you could make to your house and what you can hopefully expect in terms of real estate value. Obviously, this is just in theory. You know, your specific house needs to be looked at by a realtor because there are obviously external factors and conditions that could play into it when you actually go to sell your own home. So just putting that
disclaimer out
there now.
It's a shame we don't know a realtor who you could hire to like look at it for you, but we'll work on that. Maybe by the end of the podcast, we can get come
I
up
like
with
that. Yeah, let's see what we can do. I'll shoot out some messages to some contacts of mine. I'll see what I can, let's see what string that. The other thing that I also want to mention is this, before we dive into the discussion, we're talking about home improvements right now that you can make to your house while you're still living there. We've spent a lot of time talking about do this to get your house ready to go on market. Do this if you're thinking about listing your house in the spring. Do this, do that. This is, no, I'm not moving anytime soon. There's some things I want to do to my house and kind of curious to know if and when I decide to sell,
okay,
how it's going to affect,
all right,
you know, my resale value.
Good.
So this has nothing to do with reselling your house right now, as it shouldn't, because we're talking about larger projects. And traditionally, as we have often said, dollar for dollar, you don't get out what you put into it when you go to resell. So we don't encourage doing larger projects.
Go to resell like immediately. So if like you're you don't do some major remodel, you know, just because you're selling in 3 months, gotcha.
Right. Exactly. So. Shall we dive in, Lou?
Let's dive. I'm ready to dive.
I was going to say, you need a splash sound effect. You need the splash sound effect. Let's dive into it. Let's dive in.
Okay. So, all right. So pros and cons of large repairs and renovations. This is what we're getting into right here.
Yes.
Did we cover, we're talking about making improvements or corrections, not to sell.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Okay. So as a whole, when you go to make renovations or repairs to outdated parts of your home, that's usually going to be a good sign.
Okay.
There's always value in, hey, I've got this bathroom from the 60s and I'm going to gut it. This is what my wife and I did. We gutted our bathroom to the studs and we just put a whole new, more modern bathroom in.
Okay.
Renovations like those are always, always going to play it well into your favor. If you have updated kitchens, if you have updated bathrooms, if you decide to finish your basement, if you have a third story that you can finish and turn into a livable attic, that's always a good sign.
Okay.
Usually those have good resale value. A couple of things that I will point out. One is not only are they good in terms of value, but you definitely need to take care of it if there's a problem. I cannot tell you how many times I've run into bathroom or houses where like there's all kinds of stains on the wall and the ceiling of the living room because the tub has been leaking for 6 years. That's a problem. Like you need to make sure, like for us, when we went to go remodel our bathroom, one of the driving forces was the pink tile from the 40s was literally starting to kind of concave in a little bit.
Yeah.
We were constantly having to recaulk it to a point where we were afraid that like water was going to start getting behind the tile and start running down the walls. So we nipped that in the bud. So not only is it great for resale purposes and usually is going to add value to your home.
Okay.
Keep in mind that the reverse is also true in that you don't want it to become a problem, because if you do, and I actually just looked at a home last week with a client of mine where we walked in and it's like the bathroom was so dated, it actually wasn't usable.
Oh,
I mean,
well,
the master bathroom was disgusting.
It makes you wonder like what they were... Never
mind. Well, a lot of times what happens is when you get older people that maybe aren't showering every day, or like in this case, what it was the master bathroom was so disgusting. It was unusable. The gentleman that was living there was probably using the main bathroom that serviced the other bedrooms that was functioning, but even that was dated. So, you know, there's the other side of it where it's like, you got to make sure that you nip problems in the bud, you know? So if you have an old bathroom to a point where like tiles cracking and, you know, wallpapers peeling, that kind of stuff, you want to get that fixed because not only is it great to have good value from stuff that's been renovated, but it's also making sure that, you know, the lack of renovations don't devalue your house
and cause more damage that could be that. Yeah, right. continue.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So the pro is that, you know, most of these, you know, you're always going to benefit from an update or a repair. Now, the con is, depending on the type of repair you need and depending on who's doing it, you may be down that area of your home for quite some time. I will tell you that, you know, I know nothing. Ironically, the joke I make is everything that I know about Home Improvement consists of seeing every episode of Home Improvement, and that's it. I don't do any handyman work myself.
That's so like when we give legal advice. We've watched some episodes of Law and Order.
Yep. My legal advice extends to seeing every episode of Law and Order and Law and Order SVU and Law and Order Organized Crime. Yep, that's exactly it. But if you do hire someone to do it, you might be out that space. You know, when we hired Nick Paulus Plumbing Construction, who did great work, to come in and do our bathroom, we were down that space for about 2 weeks. And it's not because he was procrastinating. It's just because by the time you demo everything, you know, you put things in, certain things have to sit for so long before you can go on to the next step. And it took about 2 weeks. So you're gonna be down that space if you're living in the house. And that's especially true if you do the kitchen. If you do a full-blown kitchen remodel, you could be looking at months that you're down your kitchen. So make sure that you've got an alternative space that you can use if that's your only toilet in the house,
or a lot of takeout places close by.
Yes. And hopefully those takeout places have bathrooms if that's the only bathroom you have in your house that you're remodeling. Yeah. And if you're doing it yourself, you go, well, I could do it in 2 days. Well, okay, but you still have to clear 2 days out of your schedule to get it done. So that's the only con I would mention with that. But all in all, you know, you're going to benefit, and you're going to hear me reference this throughout the podcast episode a lot. First off,
okay,
depending on when you're going to sell, you know, I was talking to somebody the other day. They're talking about putting an addition on their house. You know, they want to bump out the addition, be the new dining room, and basically the current, you know, dining room / eating kitchen is going to only extend the kitchen. They're not going anywhere for 20 years. Okay. So if we're being honest, we don't even know what the real estate market is going to look like in 20 years.
There you are.
Yeah. I mean, normally trajectory says it's going to go up, not straight line. It'll be, you know, like the stock market. It'll be right, ebbs exactly. and flows, mm-hmm. but most likely it's going to go up. So it's going to benefit you. Don't ever negate the fact that these large renovations and repairs are for your enjoyment. I put a $16,000 90-foot driveway and a 35-foot patio on the side and back of my house. Dollar for dollar, I don't know if I'm going to get it back, but I can tell you, I've enjoyed the hell out of that driveway. We could park 5 to 6 cars, so when we have family members over, we don't have to worry about, you know, birthday parties and holidays and things like that. You know, my family always has a place to park, and I'm enjoying the hell out of that driveway. So I may not get every dollar out of it, but I'm enjoying it. So don't negate the fact that these renovations are also for your enjoyment. If you're not selling it for 20 years, yeah, get that kitchen, that brand new kitchen that you want. Get that brand new bathroom, because you're just going to enjoy it too, which is great. Don't ever lose sight of the fact that, you know, if you're not going anywhere for a while, enjoy the space that you're in.
That's a good point, Jason. A good point. Good point. Good point. Okay. So what about additions?
When it comes to additions, this is where it's probably going to get a little more costly.
Mm-hmm.
This is where you're going to have to be careful of how it conforms to the neighborhood. What do I mean by this? If you're putting an addition off the back of your house, if maybe you're doing something off the side, hell, I've even seen people go up. You just want to make sure that it conforms to the neighborhood. I'll give you an example. One of the things my wife and I have talked about is we have a 2-story house, and I got a text. I lost track of my phone. we live in a neighborhood where we have a 2-story house, and we've talked about what it would maybe look like in theory if we put a 3rd story on our house, sometimes often gets done. There are people that put a 3rd story. And what's interesting is that on our specific street, there are no 3-story houses. There are mostly 2 stories. We have a few ranches. Now, in our neighborhood, though, we do have 3-story houses. If you go like 1 or 2 streets down, 1 or 2 streets over, it's interesting because we have pockets. It's like one street has a lot of ranches. Our street has a lot of 2 stories. There's a couple streets over that have 3 stories. So we're kind of in this middle where my wife doesn't think we'll get, you know, full the value for it because it's like all the three-story houses are like reserved to like one or two streets. But I keep saying there's still three-story houses in the neighborhood. So I do think we would get it back. It would not be that big of an eyesore, especially because the houses on either side of us are two stories. So it's not like you have these ranches and then all of a sudden you have this massive like three-story house that's sitting in the middle of all these ranches or in the middle of all these Cape Cods. Most of the houses around us are two-story. So generally speaking, it will probably, conform to the neighborhood. If, and I'm not saying we're going to do this, but if we were to do something like that. So that's what you want to be careful of with the additions, whether you're going out, whether you're going up, whether you're going off the sides. If that happens, then you just want to make sure it's going to conform to the neighborhood. Because if it doesn't conform and all of a sudden now your house is a little bit bigger or a little bit larger than the rest of the houses, you may not get quite as much as you would like for it. I'm not saying it won't be a great feature. I'm not saying that it won't be an awesome amenity to advertise, but it may not quite be there. I'll give you another story. I have a house right now that when they bought it, they didn't finish that they bought it unfinished. And excuse me, they have since finished the basement. Great feature to finish the basement. They put an additional bedroom in the basement. Again, another great feature, window of egress, walk-in closet, doors. It's a bona fide bedroom. However, when they built the house, they built it as a three bedroom. And this was back in 2015. They built it in a neighborhood that is predominantly four bedrooms. Adding that fourth bedroom was great, but it's not going to give it the resale value of a traditional four bedroom because people that want a four bedroom in that neighborhood want a traditional four bedroom. They want all their four bedrooms upstairs. They don't want a three bedroom with a fourth bedroom in the basement. That's a
Interesting.
problem. Not a problem, but it's not what they're looking for. So it was great that they renovated that they finished the basement. Awesome, wonderful feature. But the adding that fourth bedroom, while great to have, it's probably not going to add too much to the resale value because in that neighborhood, those buyers genuinely want to have all four bedrooms on the basement. So again, it goes back to great addition, but it didn't quite conform to the neighborhood. So that's where you
Interesting.
have to kind of take that into consideration.
That's interesting. I've understood the concept of like overbuilding it up, and then like say you're in a neighborhood where most of the houses are $150,000. Now you've created something that's like $250,000. Now I can understand that, but I've never really heard of like it sort of matching, that way. That's interesting. Cool. Okay. All right. Are you ready to go to property alterations?
Yes, which is exactly what you were hinting at, Lou. So now we're getting into the pros and cons of major property alterations. And that's where, we're thinking about adding a swimming pool, maybe a tennis court, a basketball court. Maybe we're going to do just something wild and crazy. We're going to put a big, four-car garage, detached garage on there. I won't lie. Once you get to a point where you are
Really? You've been
overbuilding the
lying
neighborhood,
for the rest of the podcast? Only now you're not going to lie? Well, thank you. Thank
one
you. All
there, there
right.
is there is a point to Lou's extent where you can over improve the property. Certain things will help, but at some point, you can't overbuild the property. Now, this is a wild, wild exaggeration, but if you decided to put a three story, or if you decided to put the third story on and a swimming pool in the backyard, and now all of a sudden you have a six bedroom, five and a half bath house with an Olympic sized swimming pool in the backyard, and the rest of your neighborhood is, Cape Cod's, three bedrooms, one and a half baths. Excuse me, you're going to be way overbuilt for the neighborhood and you're not going to get back what you put in. When you start putting major alterations into your home, like a swimming pool or a pole barn or a basketball court, chances are you're probably not going to get dollar for dollar back what you put into it, especially if you're in a neighborhood where maybe you are the only neighbor that has a pool. Certain neighborhoods, certain higher end neighborhoods, almost everyone might have a pool. That's a possibility. Or, there might be other amenities there. But you need to know that if you're putting these major alterations in, yeah, you're probably not going to get dollar for dollar what you put into it. You might get a little bit of money, but not much. The issue becomes Twofold. One is it can actually be a major deterrent if some buyer doesn't like it. Like if you're a big tennis person, you're like, oh, I put this, Olympic sized tennis court in my backyard. Now I can play every day, all day, for hours. And then you sell it and a buyer comes in and I'm like, I don't even know how to spell tennis, let alone know what to do with it. Now that just becomes a problem for me because now I got a tennis court. I don't know what to do with because I don't play tennis.
Well,
So
the other thing I wanted to point out, Jason, about because you mentioned swimming pools a couple of times, and I knew a
yes.
couple of real estate agents that told me this, that in our area, that a swimming pool is by a lot of people is not considered an improvement at all. In fact, they look at a swimming pool as a giant pain in the neck because of all the maintenance that they have to do to it. And in Pennsylvania, very often you'd only get a couple of maybe 3 months of real use out of it. There's a lot of people who like kind of really like, I don't want a swimming pool. I don't want to deal with that. That sucks. So that isn't even necessarily in and of itself any kind of improvement.
Yeah,
I've had real
you're
estate
exactly
agents tell
right.
me that.
You're exact. Yeah, you're exactly right, Lou. You're 100% correct. And actually, I was just at a house yesterday that has a swimming pool. And what it was it hadn't been maintained for several years, and it just got more and more dilapidated to a point where it's actually going to be a big problem for us going to resell because every appraiser is going to flag this, and there's tens of thousands of dollars of repair that they don't have the money to do, and reselling is going to be a major problem. And for all the reasons you mentioned, 100% correct. So know that, yeah, adding those things is probably not going to add value. It could actually even be a hindrance. If you want to do it, that's your prerogative.
If you
Know that
love
it
to
could help
swim
or
and
could
you're like
hurt.
you have, I mean, then you got to do what's right for you, whatever. But it's something to keep in mind if you're, because if you're good to sell the property, you may think it's the greatest thing in the world. And other people might be going like, really? An Olympic sized basketball court in the backyard? Are you kidding?
Yeah,
I got
exactly.
to
That
tear
that's
this thing out.
exactly
I don't want
correct.
that.
Yeah. Or you get people who are like, I don't want to shell out the money to have to replace this. I don't want to have to. And by the way, when we talk about swimming pools, I want to be clear. I'm talking about the in-ground ones. Obviously, if you get one of the bigger above-ground pools, that's different because you can pretty easily have those removed, and you can regrade the landscape and all that afterwards. But we're talking about the actual in-ground swimming pools. Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it. And what happens is a lot of times future buyers don't want to take it on because of the money. They don't have the money or don't want to deal with it. So 100% correct, Lou. Absolutely correct. So just know that the con is it's probably going to be a big hindrance when you go to sell it, and it's probably not going to give you much money back. But the pro is if you're Michael Phelps, it helps to have an Olympic sized swimming pool in your backyard. So,
If you love that, that's what you love. It goes back to that. What's going to make you happy? And if you're
and
the
if you,
person's like, I love this house, I'm never moving. I've really found my place here. You know what I mean? Like, do what you want
Yeah, and if you're like, I'm gonna be dead before they sell this house, great. It's gonna be somebody else's problem. So yeah, one of those situations where if you're your friend forever home, and I have had people tell me that they're like, look, I put way more money into this house than I ever know I'll ever get back out, but I'm gonna die in this house. So I don't care. My family will sell it. Whatever, we own it free and clear. Whatever they get, they're gonna divvy it up amongst themselves. But otherwise, I know I won't get dollar for dollar. But that's okay because I'm enjoying my place. And good for you. Good for you.
Okay, to
There's
move it
nothing
along,
wrong
because
with
I know you
that.
have an appointment. Now these things don't include the normal upkeep type things that you did just come with ownership, like roofs, windows, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but what it comes down to is this. I hate to tell this to you, but yes, it puts the buyer at ease when there's a new roof, there's new windows, things like that. But if something goes awry with your property, you cannot have a roof that leaks. You cannot have drafty windows where weather is getting into your home. You can't have water in your basement. So if you have to put a waterproofing system in, if you have to install wall anchors, you have to upkeep your home. If you do great, don't be shocked when wall anchors don't get you any money or a French drain. New roof, new windows, you're probably not. But it's one of those ones on the flip side, you can't have a roof that leaks. That's gonna cause problems. That's gonna cause you to lose money. So I'm so sorry, but just know that homeownership is homeownership and you have to take care of it.
Right, there's that.
Yeah,
And
it's pretty straightforward. There's not much to harp on. Just know that it's like, yeah, you got to keep the heating and the cooling in and the elements out. And anything that does not meet those needs will be seen as a detriment. And a roof leak is something that people see as a huge problem. So you got to make sure that you have a functioning roof. You have to make sure that you have functioning heating air. You know, you have to replace your heating and cooling system. Yes, it puts buyers at ease when you know they know they have a brand new heating and cooling system in the house. But if you can't not have heat to the house, so if it breaks, you're replacing it. Like
well,
you
this
have
house
to do it.
actually
There's no
comes with
questions
heat. I
asked.
want another $100,000. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So just know that, you know, are you going to see dollar for dollar what you put in? Probably not. That's just the cost of home ownership. Guess what? We all have to do it. Suck it up, buttercup.
All right. And any final thoughts before we wrap up for today?
I think my final thoughts are this. You know, like we talked about, upgrades are relative to the neighborhood you live in. You know, like I said, if you live in a modest 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom, you know, ranch style neighborhood, and everyone has modest kitchens, modest bathrooms, if you put in the highest end kitchen with the most, you know, technology and this, that, and everything else, are you gonna get dollar for dollar back what you put in? Probably not. You know, you need to make sure that the repairs and the improvements and the upgrades, you know, whether it's inside the house, whether it's an addition, whether it's a major alteration, you know, you need to make sure that it conforms to the neighborhood. And that's going to vary from neighborhood to neighborhood. My neighborhood is a modest $200,000 community. I don't live in Neverwood. The norm for Neverwood is much different. Those are all $1 million plus homes. So, you know, just know that you want to make sure that the repairs and alterations you're making conforms to the neighborhood. But at the same time, like we talked about, how long are you planning on staying in your home? You know, and will you enjoy it? Maybe you don't get dollar for dollar out of it, but if you're planning on being in your home for the next 20 years, and you want to have it, so you're going to pay for it, great. You know, don't let enjoyment not be a major factor in your decision making and go, okay, man, I may not get dollar for dollar out of this, but if I can enjoy this kitchen that I've wanted for 50 years and I can finally enjoy it for the next 20, great, do it. Don't ever, you know, negate the fact that enjoyment goes a long way. When I go to the movie theater, I don't get to stay in the movie forever. I pay for the movie, but what I did get was the enjoyment of watching the movie. Same thing there. I don't get my money back after I leave the movie, but I paid my money to enjoy the movie. It's the same thing. Pay the money to enjoy your kitchen, enjoy your bathroom, enjoy your whatever. And even if you don't get dollar for dollar out of it, it's okay if you're enjoying it. Don't let that, you know, not be a very important factor that you consider.
Excellent. Okay, guys, if you have any questions, you know, you're in re, you know, you're looking to buy or sell, and you're looking at something that has a tennis court or something like that, and you have like, oh, this guy's really asking like a lot more money than I want to pay. You know, Jason can kind of help guide you through this process. So no matter what's going on, you're thinking about buying or selling, even if it's not for a little while yet, we want to reach out to Jason at 412-651-4638. That is a call or text number. And you could email Jason at jason.wilcox@pittsburghmoves.com. All right, guys. Awesome show. As always, really appreciate all the knowledge and everything going around here. And I hope that you guys do enjoy hanging out with you. And we'll catch everybody on the next Really Real Real Estate Podcast.